In the name of our risen Lord, amen. Our text is the lesson just read with particular focus on verse 13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Ala katho koinonite tois tu Christu pathemazin. What a remarkable text. Participate in the sufferings of Christ. And then Peter continues, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Today's lesson presents very current guidance. It is as though St. Peter had read this weekend's Wall Street Journal, with its front page picture of a young Egyptian boy who had been injured and his father killed in the bombing of a Christian church on Palm Sunday in Tanta, Egypt, just north of Cairo. This bombing was, with a second one, credited with killing 45 Christians, and the article chronicles how Christians whose forefathers have passed on the faith for millennia are fleeing from the Middle East. Similarly, the May issue of the Lutheran Witness concisely overviews the persecution of Christians throughout the world. This lesson from St. Peter seems to address precisely our situation, and he brings us guidance as we experience this aggressive resurgence of persecution. Indeed, this text forms a sort of bookend with the salutation where Peter addresses his saints with this. Now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to you so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So how can we best exhibit the behavior that the Holy Apostle is calling us to display and to live out? First, we should begin by growing to understand what is at stake. Everything is at stake. Our Christology, our identity, is fully in play. To illustrate, not so long ago, I was visiting with a university administrator who was positively terrified that if they followed the church's positions in their administrative duties, they would be placed on the LGBT shame list. Well, at that moment, I recalled a visit that I had with a senior pastor in Latvia. He had suffered for 18 years in a Soviet Russian prison in Siberia for confessing Christ. The only reason that he had survived with it is he is also a medical doctor and was kept more alive by the attention of their administration. So I shared that conversation with this administrator and suggested that the LGBT shame list was very small potatoes indeed. Well, he responded with a puzzled look. But the truth is that much is at stake in hearing and then embodying the word of our Lord. The truth of the matter is, dear SEM students and deaconesses and colleagues, is that one of the most painful aspects of our situation is that not a few who fly under the Christian flag will all too quickly abandon two millennia of Christian thinking to avoid being viewed as a bigot or to be charged with perpetuating hate language. We could multiply examples, but I will share just one. I felt compelled to protest the actions of one of my alma maters, Princeton Theological Seminary, where Dr. Geeshan also went. Both of us earned a THM. They awarded one of their graduates their most prestigious award, the Kipper Award, because of his work in New York City, where he was attracting, after some years, some 5,000 every Sunday. And they awarded this prize, but then when they heard that he followed sacred scripture in opposing women's ordination and the LGBT agenda, they withdrew the award. That is tragic, because the witness of the church is compromised not at the edges, but at the center when the church abandons its Lord's word. So how can we go forward here, rejoicing that we can participate in the sufferings of Christ? My suggestion is that we do that by receiving and continually reminding ourselves of the gift of our identity by grace, and that is our identity in Christ. To continually thank God for who He has made us by His holy action. Through word and sacrament, our identity is defined and secure. In fact, it's daily, I think, central to our lives as Christians to recall our holy baptism and to know that that has joined us to Christ's death and to His resurrection. It's not a past event, it's a present reality, and it should define the narrative of our life day after day. His presence, His victory over sin and death defines us and our character. It's so appropriate that the word martyr comes from martyreo, the Greek word for witness. And our suffering, whether it be verbal attacks or physical kind of moves, powerfully clarifies and broadcasts that we are Christ's. There's a display of identity when we follow Him. And this not by our moral strength or our virtuous character. We remain poor, miserable sinners. But we are His. And we must let this world know that we are His. His word, the living voice of Jesus, the viva vox Jesu through prophets and apostles, calls us and guides us and nourishes us and defines us. His body and blood feed us. And because we are His, we know the end of the narrative, as Peter says, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. What a great blessing we all enjoy to be at a seminary that is prepared to witness to Christ in season and out of season. Not many seminaries have such clarity today, regrettably. And to a church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that has publicly confessed and continues to confess the authority and truth of Christ's holy word. It's good and important with such blessings of a seminary like ours, of a church like ours, to be busy encouraging one another, not fearing all that's happening around us, not becoming preoccupied with the stings and arrows. We've got better things to do, focusing on the divine gifts in worship and in life. And those gifts are who we are. And so we, with St. Peter, rejoice. Any sufferings don't cause us despair, but we will rejoice calmly, unflinchingly relying on Christ's life in His baptized children. Rejoicing in suffering seems so contradictory to our culture. It seems impossible. But as St. Peter says, those who experience such things for Christ and in his name, they are secure. They are free and by grace alone fully in charge of the future, for it belongs to God. Indeed, I was struck and still am being taught by some of the martyrs. Maybe you read last year about these young Coptic Christians who were marched out and who were in being forced to kneel, had the name of Christ on their lips just before they were beheaded by ISIS. There's clarity. We can learn from the witness of the martyrs, and we can forever flee from the happy, clappy, glory view of Christian living that is simply not real. Fact of the matter is that the old evil foe and his minions are serious. They are out to destroy. They are out to spread deception and death. And they miss, and the church sees, the depth of Christ's suffering. That's what it took to save us. All those things were absorbed by his holy body. Christ is the light of the world. The prince of this world, the idolatrous religions, the elites who dance to the devil's will and wishes, will not give Christians a pass. And frankly, we do not want one of their passes, for their faith and lives are on display all around in the terrors of abortion and infanticide and in public debauchery. That doesn't intimidate us. Rather, we rejoice that Christ defines who we are. Our life is his, and those who are his will never die. We know and we confess with the ancient liturgy, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light that no darkness can overcome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.